just consider this account that we've read. We pray that you might use your words. I pray that you might use my words to speak to us, to encourage us. And Lord, as we hear this, we also hear this in very much in the context of having just heard what a man, a follower of Jesus, did in Vietnam, Hoa Stone. And we hear, I guess, what it means for people like Hoa and other followers of Jesus to follow you faithfully and make a difference in the world. And we pray, Lord, that that we might have the same heart too. So as we listen, help us be followers in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a crazy story, isn't it? I do love it. I'm not sure if these four friends went to university, but it's the kind of thing that I feel like we would have done at university. I did engineering, so that might say everything. That might be enough. But at university, for instance, this is probably bad, I don't know, but I and my friends decided that we would have an anti-Santa campaign. So we got an effigy of Santa and dragged it through the University of South Australia. We thought we were quite amused by it all. Not everyone was amused. Most people just thought we were stupid. But here are these four friends, and they are pretty eager to get their mate, who's paralyzed, who's very desperate, to Jesus. So they get there, as you heard, the place is crowded, and they go up on the roof, and they tear a hole in that roof, and then figure out a way to lower their friend down right in front of Jesus. Now, to be fair to them, roofs in that time were like our kind of pergolas or your patios or porches that we have now. So people did go up on the roof. There'd be this stairway and up they'd go. But what wasn't normal is it's not normal to get out a spade or something and dig a hole in that roof. That's not normal. But that's what they did. Even though it wasn't okay, it's not the way that things are meant to be done. There is such a thing as a front door. These friends didn't care about doing what was right and what was normal because they just wanted to get their mate to Jesus. And if you can't get him through the front door or any other door and you don't want to come back later, you go up on a roof and you dig a hole and you lower your friend down. Verse 20 is such a fascinating, or not verse 20, verse 5 is such a fascinating verse to me. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So this man is being laid before Jesus, clearly unable to walk. It's not his faith that Jesus bases his action on. It's the faith of the friends. It's the fact that the friends believed that Jesus could do something for their mate, that they exercised their persistence and resourcefulness. They really did think that if I get this friend of mine to Jesus, he's going to do something amazing for him, that this effort will be worthwhile. Now, this is probably either Jesus' house, his relative's house, or his friend's house. This is not a random stranger's house. So it does put a different spin on it that Jesus looks at the guy and says, "Your sins are forgiven." He might be referring to the fact that they just dug a hole in their roof. But it's not that. He's speaking more than that. But Jesus is able to see past the damage and see how these four friends clearly believed he had the power to heal. And on the basis of that faith, Jesus brings to this man healing and forgiveness. Wouldn't you want friends like that? Really want friends like that? Friends that don't care about being embarrassed, don't care about doing what's right, just will do whatever it takes for your sake. I was doing some street work in Hindley Street, and every now and then, if you're on Hindley Street and you're weedy and thin and pasty looking like me, then you get targeted by other people who think you're an easy target. So I had this bloke who basically followed me around for like 60 minutes. I was with two other street workers, so I felt okay. They weren't very tough either. But I was followed around by this guy. He basically said, I'm going to smash, beat you up and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I ran into a Maori. Now, if you don't know, I'm Maori. And I ran into this Maori guy. And anyway, I was talking to him. And this other dude comes and says, I'm going to beat you up. And the Maori guy says, he's with me. He's my friend. You touch him. He didn't care about the law. He didn't care about what it might mean to give bodily injury to somebody else. Jason was his friend, and he would do whatever it took to make sure that that guy left me alone. I like having friends like that in circumstances like that. I wasn't arguing with him. I was like, oh, yeah, sure, do whatever you want. Wouldn't you want to be a friend like that? It's such a simple question, but wouldn't you want to be a friend like that? A friend that can carry others, that has faith for your mate who may not have faith, who wants the best and will do what it takes, so much so that you might mess up a roof to get your friend to Jesus. Last week we heard how God bridges the barriers, crosses the divide to bring us to him. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. And we have seen that God sends his Son to rescue us, do what we can't do, rescue a perishing world. This week we see a picture of friends who break barriers and bridge divides to bring people to God. Four friends who are desperate to bring their mate to Jesus. They love him. They love their friend. They know that meeting Jesus can change his life. And so they need to be creative, need to make effort, they need to take risks, they need to do the ridiculous, they need to do whatever it takes to cross over that barrier of crowd, of roof, of even the religious people. They need to do whatever it takes to get their mate in front of Jesus. I think this is a lovely picture of why people leave their country and the security of their culture and their profession to go to other countries so that people might meet Jesus. I remember numbers of years ago, I was at university, they had this mission breakfast. And you'd have these breakfasts. I remember Roger Dyer rocking up to many of them. In fact, this is at Flinders University. And one couple came and they'd come from Yemen, I think it was. And they were sharing about what the kinds of things they did in Yemen, which is extraordinary. But to be honest, that's not the bit that struck me. What struck me was the husband was a high school principal, and the wife was a doctor. And she went to Yemen, which meant in public she was never ever seen with her husband. Her face was always covered up in public, and she always walked behind her husband. She was never permitted culturally to walk alongside him. And he wasn't able to get a job working as a principal there. So he found other jobs, what you and I would consider menial jobs, probably. So she did practice as a doctor, but she had the humility, the humiliation of a culture telling her she needs to behave in a certain way that, frankly, Australian women just wouldn't tolerate if we were told that. But alongside that, he had the other humility or humiliation of surrendering his vocation so that they could be in Yemen. What additionally struck me is they came back to Australia. And in coming back to Australia, she was able to get back and work as a doctor. But all of his education qualifications had expired. So when I met him, he was working in a vineyard, picking grapes. And I just thought, they gave up so much to go to Yemen to teach people about Jesus. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? A bit like these four friends. They think they will make any effort so that we can cross divides and break down barriers to bring people to God. And I see that in our friends, the Hutchinson family. I mean, Luke is a Baptist pastor. Rachel's a speech pathologist. You know, they've left the kind of security that we know and moved over to Cambodia. And they would say that they're doing this to bring people to God. It does require sacrifice. It does require finding out different ways of working in the world. And, you know, lots, pretty much what Luke's doing at the moment is a lot of gardening and teaching English. That's a big shift, isn't it? From leading communities and having a place in society. So, yeah, that's why people do what they do, is they, like these four friends, are so keen to bring people to Jesus. And that's the same as why Stone. I mean, his story is this powerful story of impact. And Company of Grace is a testimony of what God can do in the world. It was, as I said, founded by a person with disability. It's managed by local staff who have disabilities, and it helps local children with disability. And they work with children from the age of 3 up to they can leave at age 25. And those people are extraordinary, and they are just like these friends. They'll do what it takes. Make every effort. Be creative. Take risks. Sacrifices. Hopefully we are inspired to support people like that. That not only, you know, we're doing little projects, I guess you might say, for May Mission Month, but in our giving, in our regular giving, that we are inspired to use the resources we have to sustain and support people who do these kinds of things. I know that Anne and I really try to make priority around the missionaries and the people that we know and are friends with, or are inspired by, and we support them in their work. And hopefully that does it for you too. But hopefully also this story of four friends might inspire you to be a friend who bridges barriers, who crosses divides to bring people to God. You know, the friends wanted to bring their mate to Jesus because they thought Jesus could make a massive difference in his life. He did. And in fact, their friend got more than they were seeking. He didn't just get healing, did he? He got forgiveness of sins. That Jesus broke the barrier, not just of this man's inability to walk, but the fact that this man is separated from God. And he showed that he had authority to do so by healing him. And that's what happens with so many of us, is we come to Jesus for whatever reason we come. It could be I need community. It could be I'm seeking meaning. And Jesus brings into our life so much more than we were first seeking. Wouldn't you want that for your friends, for your family? Wouldn't you want them to know and meet Jesus? And it does require us many times to be creative, to make effort, take risks and to do the ridiculous. I don't know if many of us have to do the ridiculous, but would you? You know, I think that many of the barriers that we have in our world are clearly not digging holes in the roof. I mean, if they went up on this roof and dropped a person down from that height, that would be crazy. That would be genuinely crazy. But that's not the kind of barrier that we have for people to meet Jesus. To be honest, and really honest, the barriers that I see are here and here. I don't experience many barriers externally, but I observe that the barriers for the Christian in Australia in bringing people to God are within. If you reflect on what's blocking you from being braver, from speaking boldly, plainly, and helping people know who Jesus is, if you think about that, how many of those things are external barriers? No one's threatening your life, as far as I'm aware. I met with a church partnership person from Open Doors. Do you remember Open Doors? They were a ministry we focused our giving on last year. And Open Doors supports the persecuted church. There's a lot of people doing it seriously tough in the world because they are followers of Jesus. And we'll keep our relationship with Open Doors for if only this reason. It puts our suffering in context. And I'm not denying that we find it tough at all. I'm really not denying that. But we're not. Like there's one family I know in a country that I won't name. He was a pastor of a church, and his family attended church. Anyway, the government, which is no fan of Christians, has in the last 2-3 years targeted Christians. So they had a church, small church. They were in a school for the poorest people in their community. So the government jailed him, firstly, for 6 months. No charge, just jailed him. Took him away from the family. Then the next thing they did is they took all the jobs away from all the people that he was related to. Then the next thing they did is they took all of his finances away from him. So the access to cash. There's no welfare in this country, by the way. And then the next thing they did is they shut down the school. And that's been status quo for them for the last 12 months. Because of some people in our church, we have a direct relationship with that family, but it's very difficult to support them and what's going on. I would say that's a barrier. That's a blocker. And we should be shocked if Australia turned out that way. Everyone should be shocked. Even if you're not a Christian, you should be utterly shocked if our nation turned out that way. But that is the kind of cruelty that's been pressed onto people who are no different to you or I. Clearly, they love Jesus and they wanted to do good in the world. What a crime. But you think about you and I. What stops us from bringing our friends and our family and trying to be creative and make efforts and take risks and do the ridiculous? It's here, isn't it? It's here. It's the fact that we say to ourselves things that we haven't even tested yet. If I say something, they may reject me. You haven't probably tested it. Now, I know this is my day job. And I know that I'm one of these people that is an evangelist by temperament and nature. Right? I know that is true. But I've tested this. I talk to people all the time about Jesus. The people that you think would never be interested, and then the people that you think would be interested, right? As far as I can see, I haven't needed a Maori brother to back me up. No one's threatened me with my life. I haven't got any bruises on my face. My ego's quite fine. And I feel like I've met some very interesting people on the way through. And every now and then, I meet somebody who wants to give their life to Jesus. For me, what this means for me is if my numbers are 1 out of 10 people that I talk to about Jesus wants to follow Jesus, is a seeker, here's my thing. I need to talk to 10 people. I need to get 9 no's to find that yes. Feels a little bit ridiculous sometimes. 9 no's in a row could be very bad. I need to get 9 no's before I get a yes. But what blocks you? These guys did not let any barrier stop them. Didn't let the crowd, didn't let the roof, didn't let the lack of rope probably even be a barrier to them. They did what it took. How about you? You could be that friend too.